equal time. Another viewpoint, other considerations. Equal time.
Good afternoon. I'm Carl Ettinger, today's host for Equal Time Radio and Monday's host in general. My theme, as usual, is energy, food, and the local economy at the end of the age of oil. I've got a blog on the same subject. It's at the Vermont Commons website, vtcommons.org/blog, or just go to the homepage, vtcommons.org, and click on the blog link. I'm one of many bloggers there, so if you're looking for mine, it's called Relocalizing Vermont. And the audio from this show and Travin's shows are saved at equaltimeradio.com, equaltimeradio.com. Usually I get it up within, by the end of the next day, by the end of Tuesday. Got a great show coming up for you today. The first segment, we're going to be talking about Vermont Yankee nuclear power plant here in Vermont, its future, and who's going to pay for decommissioning it. Those are the topics. With us on the phone will be Chad Simmons. He's from Safe and Green in Brattleboro, plus Deb Katz. She's with the Citizens Awareness Network. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about Cuba. Cuba underwent an early peak oil experience, you could say, in the 1990s. There's no geological peak to world oil production back then, but they experienced a world that we'll soon be experiencing because the Soviet Union collapsed and stopped supplying the island nation with subsidized oil. So, faced with diminishing energy supplies, they rapidly converted to a much more local and renewable economy in food, energy, and other things, and they tightened their belts quite a bit, too. We'll learn about that when we talk with Shelburne resident Barbarina Heyerdahl, who visited Cuba in February for a couple weeks to see for herself. She'll report on how successful their local economy has been. First, just a few calendar items. Tonight, at the Kellogg Hubbard Library in Montpelier, the Post-Oil Homestead, Skills for the Transition. Ben Falk of Whole Systems Design in Moortown will be highlighting skills and tools needed to develop and evolve sustaining homestead and small farm systems fit for the solar age. Those skills include soil building, perennial crop establishment, water capture and storage, fertility cycling, fungi, forestry, and infrastructure. This is sponsored by Transition Town Montpelier. I'm part of that. Ben emailed earlier today or last night saying, do you think the library will be okay if I bring a rifle as a prop? So I'm not sure whether they will be or not, but it should be an interesting presentation. The Post-Oil Homestead Skills for the Transition, 6 to 8 p.m. tonight, the Kellogg Hubbard Library in Montpelier. Wednesday, on the State House, actually starting out in the City Hall in Montpelier and then going to the State House, is a rally to close down Vermont Yankee, replace its power, and make sure that Entergy doesn't stick us all with the bill for decommissioning it. We'll be talking more about the details of that with our guests in a few minutes. That's starting at 9:30, gathering at City Hall in Montpelier, marching at 10 o'clock to the State House, and then in the afternoon and late morning in the afternoon, there'll be a renewable energy fair on the lawn of the State House. That's Wednesday, rain or shine, starting at 9:30, finishing up around 3 in the afternoon. There's also a chance for lobbying your legislators. And then Friday, there's another big rally at the State House. We'll get more details about that at the break with a PSA, but this is about health care for all. And I believe it starts at noon. We'll hear more about that again at the break. So why don't we bring up our guest? Do we have both of them on the line now, Artie? Okay, well, we'll bring up Chad Simmons, and maybe you can call Deb Katz and see if we can get her on the line as well. Chad Simmons is from Safe and Green in Brattleboro. Chad, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing, Carl?
Good, good to have you on. Why don't you begin by explaining what your organization is?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on the show. I've been spending the morning, a better part of the morning, the early afternoon, talking to a lot of excited people about the rally on Wednesday. So we're really ramping up here to having a great, fun-filled day. The Safe and Green campaign started about a year and a half ago, and really the purpose of the campaign is to organize town groups within a 20-mile radius of Vermont Yankee in Vernon, Vermont. So including towns in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Windham County here. And so the purpose is to organize these town groups and just essentially do some outreach and talk to people in our communities and work on both informing people why Vermont Ink needs to close when its license expires in 2012, as well as opportunities and choices that we have to make about our renewable energy future. So right now we've got several town groups, actually over 20, that are active, writing letters to the editor, talking to their neighbors, organizing events like the one on Wednesday.
So there were already several organizations that were involved in the struggle to close down Vermont Yankee at the time that its original license expires in 2012. Why'd you feel a need to start another one?
Well, that's a really great point, and I think that those that started the Safe and Green campaign went into it recognizing that there were already several, if not almost almost 10 groups that are working on this already. One of the other groups that I'm working with, the Citizens Awareness Network, has been organizing since the early 90s, since 1991. Vermont Yankee Decommissioning Alliance has been organizing since, really, since Vermont Yankee was under construction. But the reason we felt the need for our voices to be heard was really the fact that we are living in the shadow of Vermont Yankee. So we have a very particular, a good story to share with the rest of the state. And I think it's also powerful at this point in time to share those stories, the fact that we live with monthly sirens that go off and have to understand what an evacuation would mean, where would we go, how would we get our families and our friends and our pets to safe places. So these are real concerns that we live with on a daily basis, not to mention, as we'll be talking about, we live 5 miles, 6 miles, 10 miles away from what will eventually be a permanent nuclear waste site. So the other organizations have been doing phenomenal work, and I actually work with a handful of them, and I really do commend the work that they do and the work that we're doing. I feel is extremely important.
Yeah, it's something that in the Transition Town movement we think about quite a lot, and how much to join existing groups and work with them, and how much to set up something that's a little bit different and work side by side. And to some extent, redundancy gives resilience, which means that the system can stand more of a shock and also can do more. It can reach out to more people.
That's a really good point. In fact, that's one of the major underlying reasons that we formed this organization. In fact, the core group of essentially, the committee is really a makeup of all the other organizations that are working on this issue. Mm-hmm. And the Safe and Green campaign is part of the larger state and regional coalition, the Safe Power Coalition, which all of the organizations part of the Safe Power Coalition are the ones that are organizing the rally on Wednesday. So we work together. We all have, very separate foci, but we're all working together to close and replace Vermont Yankee.
We're talking with Chad Simmons. He's from Safe and Green in Brattleboro. And we're trying to get Deb Katz of the Citizens Awareness Network on the line. And at some point before this segment is over, hopefully we will have done that. But for the time being, we're with Chad, and he's got a lot to say. Your phone calls, as always, are welcome. The phone number here is 244-1777. That's the local number. Toll free, 877-291-8255. So, Chad, I mentioned in the introduction a little bit about this rally on Wednesday at the State House, but could you give us a fuller story?
Sure. Well, the purpose of this rally is really to impress upon our legislators that even though there will not be a vote whether or not to continue the operation of Vermont Yankee beyond 2012, this legislative session, we feel very strongly that our legislators still need to hear from us and need to hear that we want it closed and we want it replaced. So we understand that the legislators have a really difficult 2 weeks ahead of them, and so we don't want to go there and cause trouble. But we do want to go there and really communicate that a renewable energy future is in the best long-term interest of this state. And so we're going to be advocating for our legislators to pass a couple of the really great pieces of legislation that are focusing on renewables and making it easier for renewable technologies to be a substantial part of our energy portfolio moving forward. And the second piece of the reason why we're there is to share our concerns, that we have real concerns about both the reliability of the reactor in Vernon, as well as the long-term effects that it will have on the state and the region, really. And both New Hampshire and Massachusetts are definitely feeling the consequences of this. So we're going to be having fun. We're going to be having a rally starting at 10 o'clock, starting at about 10:20 probably, the march from Town Hall will take about 15, 20 minutes. So we're going to have a rally with several different speakers talking about the need and the urgency, why it's so important that we act now to close and replace it. And then we're going to be having a press conference at 11 o'clock. And again, we'll be talking about that, have some legislators be, some of our legislators will be speaking. And at 11:30, we're going to have people have the opportunity to get a short little training, and then at noon we'll be talking to our legislators about why it is we want Vermont Yankee closed and why we want it replaced, and you know what our vision of Vermont's energy future will look like.
Noon's a pretty good time to catch legislators, because the business inside shuts down and they have a little bit of freedom to go to the cafeteria or go elsewhere and get some lunch, so it's a good time to collar them.
Exactly. And, you know, as I was saying, that we're really looking for a positive, you know, a fun experience in the State House on Wednesday. Really, we're going to be thanking legislators. A lot of thanking will be going on for their hard work that they've shown this year, and especially the forward-thinking, visionary kinds of approaches to our energy policy, which has been lacking, unfortunately, from the Douglas administration. And so we really are going to be doing a lot of thanking to our legislators, as well as impressing upon them why UI should close.
Tell us about some of the legislation that you like that you want to thank them for.
Sure. Well, the House, at the end of March, I think on March 27th, passed the decommissioning bill, which essentially, kind of the gist of it is, it's in a strong way saying that the Entergy Corporation, Entergy Nuclear Vermont Yankee, must be and should be responsible for paying for the decommissioning and full greenfield or green space cleanup of the facility and the space in Vernon, Vermont. Essentially, what it's asking for is that Vermont Yankee pay for the plant to get cleaned up. And you know, I was just reading through you had mentioned it to read through again the decommissioning bill, and I went ahead. And one thing that I found really interesting, and again really forward thinking, was the fact that if we allow the Vermont Yankee facility to go into safe store and not be accessible until 2072, that's lost. That's a lost opportunity for the state of Vermont and really for the region. Because that space could potentially be used for other forms of electrical generation.
Let's underscore, you know, that. In the status quo, then it's possible, it's legal, for the owners of Vermont Yankee to do nothing with that and not decommission Vermont Yankee until 60 years after it closes, or as you said, 2072, 60 years after 2012, the putative closing date. And that's it's really powerful, because it's located in a space that you know, could be used for energy production or industrial use, commercial use, or recreation. It's got a prime piece of real estate there, and it would be taken up with this decrepit, decaying nuclear plant for 60 years under the status quo.
That's correct. And so, I commend the legislators that put together the bill for thinking about that aspect of the Vermont's energy future, and thinking that, you know, if it closes in 2012, which we wanted to when it's supposed to close, we want that opportunity, and the communities really deserve that opportunity to have that revenue, those tax dollars come into their community. I know Vernon is going to have, I mean, the reality is Vernon will have a challenging time, the town of Vernon, making that transition. And I think it's the responsibility of the corporation and the responsibility of the state to help see that transition happens, both within tax revenue as well as jobs.
I would think this bill, the decommissioning bill, if it becomes law in the form that it passed the House, calls for the reactor to be completely deconstructed and be turned back to the so-called greenfield, just nearly pristine condition, within 10 years of the time that it closes down. I would think that would make for a smooth transition for Vernon in a couple of ways. One, you know, all those jobs at the nuclear power plant, instead of going away, at least many of them, I would think, would be involved in planning and carrying out the decommissioning of the plant. And then two, as you were mentioning, when it's decommissioned, then you'll have the space, which is valuable and can be used for other things immediately.
That's correct, and that's a really good point, that there's several different facets to why a strong decommissioning bill, laying out those elements, is extremely important, because it lays the foundation for how that space and how those communities are going to move forward. And I would also have to say, too, this isn't necessarily addressed in the decommissioning bill, but is a very important piece of it. I really think, too, that very soon there should be things put into place for the Entergy Corporation in the state of Vermont thinks about how they're going to support the employees. As you were saying, a majority of those jobs will be necessary and will stay at the Vermont Yankee facility for those 10 years. But after that 10 years, I personally, and the groups organizing, would like to see the company take upon it the responsibility to think about how those jobs are going to be transitioned and what the company in the state of Vermont can do to see that transition through. And that's just kind of the thinking that we're looking for from our representatives in terms of thinking about the state and energy portfolio beyond Vermont Yankee.
So
and
would
the decommissioning bill really does address a lot of those issues.
Would you like to see Entergy Nuclear continuing to, from New Orleans, Louisiana, continuing to invest in Vermont?
I would like to see a corporation take responsibility and be good corporate stewards, and I don't believe Entergy Corporate from Louisiana has given us that hope and that trust. I don't think they've gained the trust of Vermonters, and I don't think they deserve to operate in the state any longer. I would like to see is that corporation be replaced with other Vermont-owned and operated businesses and electrical providers.
The number here is 244-1777 for local calls, or toll-free 877-291-8255. We're talking with Chad Simmons. He's from Safe and Green in Brattleboro. He's one of the planners of the rally at the State House on Wednesday from 10 or so in the morning till 3 in the afternoon on closing down Vermont Yankee, providing other forms of electricity for us. Chad, there's another bill that you're really interested in thanking legislators for?
Yeah, actually two others. The second one is that came from the House, which is the House Bill 446, which is essentially the Vermont Energy Act of 2009. And I really feel that this bill, which essentially has a standard offer, which means that renewable electrical providers will be able to get a standard price for the power that they provide to the state. And really what this does, it offers a great opportunity and leverage for renewable technology, renewable energy companies to come into the state, make it their home, and provide Vermonters with renewable, clean electricity. And we feel that this is vital to the overall portfolio and the vision that we want to see take place in the state.
This builds on something that one of the private shareholder-owned organizations providing electricity, Green Mountain Power, is already doing. Green Mountain Power announced last year that they would pay a premium for solar power. Anybody who put in solar panels, they'd buy it at somewhere between 19 and 20 cents per kilowatt hour.
That's correct, yeah.
And this bill sets the bar a little bit higher. I believe it sets it in its current form at 30 cents per kilowatt hour. But the idea is that if you make it so attractive to produce renewable energy and you compel the utilities to buy it at those prices, then there'll be a flurry of activity and we'll get the pace of change that we need in that area.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And so that's H-446, the Energy Act of 2009, and you mentioned one other.
Yep, the Senate Bill 54, which is essentially the
Clean Energy Assessment Districts.
Yep, the Clean Energy Assessment Districts, which really would make it easy and affordable for Vermonters to install renewable energy technologies, so solar and wind. And really, and we were talking about this before, that it again provides a great starting point for making these technologies affordable to Vermonters and allowing them to pay for them throughout the life of a mortgage or a loan. So again, a really positive forward-thinking step forward to how we can entice renewable energy projects to thrive here in Vermont.
And that would remove a big barrier for a lot of people to investing in solar hot water, solar panels, wind turbines, because there's a big upfront cost with those. And you know, even if you make money over the 20-year, 30-year time period that you might think about paying down the money on, it's hard to get a loan for more than 8 years, 10 years, something like that, from a bank. And you know, I don't know about getting it folded into your existing mortgage is what programs there are now, but this would give you a chance to get access to lower interest loans and having them paid back over a long time period so that each month you'd be faced with a savings. You'd have less to pay on your utility bills and you'd have something to pay back on the loan, but presumably you could set it up so that your payback on the loan would be less than your savings, so you'd be making money every month.
That's correct. That's correct. And there are banks, community banks in Vermont that have already taken a step forward over the last few years to make it easier for Vermonters to install solar panels and other renewable technologies on their homes. But again, this just makes it that much more easier for these changes to take place and for these technologies to be affordable for Vermonters. Because you know, as we all know, the economic times make it a little challenging for us to make drastic changes. That said, it also gives us a good opportunity to do that with the right legislation, and we feel that the Senate bill will definitely do that. And again, you know, we're thanking our legislators for taking these steps to move forward.
Well, Chad Simmons of Safe and Green in Brattleboro, what are the other organizations that are helping organize this rally on Wednesday?
Sure. The Safe Power Vermont Coalition is made up of public citizen, or citizen advocacy groups and environmental groups. So the Vermont Public Interest Research Group, the Vermont Yankee Decommission Alliance, which I mentioned earlier, the Sierra Club, Nuclear Free Vermont, the Citizens Awareness Network, and the Toxics Action Center are all part of that coalition, in addition to the Safe and Green campaign. So a couple of years ago, this coalition was formed really because during the organizing period in the citizen advocacy leading up to Act 160 being passed, we saw this as a great opportunity because Act 160 is just a fantastic piece of legislation that essentially says that our government, our representatives, working on the behalf of the people of Vermont, really should be making this decision on our energy future and not an out-of-state corporation. So these organizations worked extremely hard to get public support, and really we saw how powerful this act can be and has been over the years to getting public participation. So from that organizing, this coalition came into being and have been working tirelessly since to get Vermont Inc. closed and replaced.
And where can people find out more about the rally? Is there a website?
Yeah, there's a couple. If you go to Safe Power of Vermont.
Is that spelled out? Org,
it's actually
it's either Safe Power VT or Safe Power Vermont.
It's Safe Power VT.
Okay. .org.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. So safepowervt.org gives you a lovely picture of water pouring out of the cooling tower at Vermont Yankee when it failed a couple of years ago, and information about the rally on Wednesday.
Incorrect. And you can go to any one of those websites, the organizations that are part of Safe Power Vermont, and get some more information about what each of us are doing and where we're organizing, because we're really looking forward to another reason why the Wednesday's event is so powerful is we're going to use this as a jumping off point, because this summer is going to be an extremely important summer for people to talk to their legislators, to get involved, to get organized, and to really work for the next legislative session when we anticipate this vote to take place.
Chad Simmons of Safe and Green in Brattleboro, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you again for having me.
Take care. And please stay tuned to listen to and talk to, if you want, Barbarina Heyerdahl. She's a Shelburne resident who visited Cuba in February to see for herself how they survived their own peak oil experience from the 1990s when the Soviet Union collapsed and stopped subsidizing the Cuban economy with cheap oil. We'll be back after this.